Meow, 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 meow. My name's Alan, man.
And we're recording.
I'm Alan. You kids are all crazy today. Get off my lawn.
Do you have lawns in Texas?
Yeah.
I'm going to steal Weird's thunder. Hello, Internet.
Hello, Internet. Oh, Jay.
We're all the same anyway, Weird, at least according to Hayden.
Again, you just got to sit around and just wait around, and then an immigrant will come and take your job.
I thought Jay was supposed to be taking the day off.
That's right.
No. I'm here. It's all good.
Yep, aren't you an immigrant?
I'm just a brown person.
Yeah. I can't, you That's know. Right. Y'all dark people all look the same to me.
That's right. What about you, Brita?
What?
I mean, you immigrated from Africa.
You know what's
Oh, I did.
You know what's funny is
this time of year I am like glow in the dark.
All these people telling immigrants to take the day off and not go to work. It's like the people who don't have jobs are telling the people that do have jobs to not go to work.
So they get fired. So they and get then the people that don't have jobs take them.
Yeah, it's like what are you thinking? People, you know, they're people they're telling to do this or they're at work. They're not going to take the day off for some stupid bullshit social justice crap.
And there are really kind of two kinds of people in this world. The type of people who can't take a day off because they need the job so desperately, and they are not high enough stature in the job that just randomly taking a day off would be totally smiled upon. And then the type of people that are high enough stature in their job that, yes, if they say, you know what, don't expect me on Thursday, I got something to do, everyone will be like, well, fine, whatever. But those are the people that they got there because, oh yeah, no, they bust their hump and they're not going to just turn around for this stupid little, you know, oh, look at what we did.
You know, there is a woman, you know, the Women's March that happened.
Yes.
What, sure last do. Month. They are also planning a day without a woman strike. And that's supposed to be next month.
Man.
And
the roads are going to be awesome.
Oh, Alan.
Oh, but think of the sandwiches that won't be made.
Right. But I'm thinking that this is really a day without a woman. It's really smacks of like white upper middle class woman privilege.
Of course.
Because frankly, I couldn't just be like, nope, not coming in.
Right.
Because I need my job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are, you know, people less fortunate than I am who are like, geez, I can't take a day off. I can't just call in and take a day off.
Even if they give me the day off and are totally fine with it and don't, you know, don't dock me at all, I need that money that I'm going to make for those eight right. hours or 10 hours.
Right, exactly. And, you know, people were saying that looking at the Women's March, you know, just the photos that you saw of the Women's March, wow, that was a really white crowd.
Sure. Yep.
Talk about privilege, you know.
And really surprisingly white, given that it was in D.C., which is, I believe, the blackest city in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
insanely liberal country, like, you know, I bet you're going to be hard pressed to find a Donald Trump, you know, yard sign anywhere in the residential areas of D.C.
Probably
yeah.
not.
And, yeah. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of Republican staffers and stuff. And yeah, they all live in Virginia.
Duh.
Yes. Hi, Jay.
I'm still here. In case you thought I wasn't on this part of the album.
Yes. But the and yet, because I mean, that's one thing I always think back on was the NRA show in Houston. Was that was like the first NRA show where I'm like, oh wow, there's a lot of like blacks and Hispanics here.
Hmm.
And then, you know, and then well, it wasn't the fall. I wasn't there the following year, but later, you know, other years, it's not as much because I realized, oh, because it's not in Houston. Yeah.
Houston, the following year was Indianapolis.
Yeah, and was it as racially diverse as Houston?
Not as Houston, no.
No, and that's the big thing is that, you know, now, you get a huge draw of people that live near where the convention is.
Yeah, exactly. This year should be awesome because it's in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, so this actually I will predict a huge African American turnout there, or at least
I want to go to Atlanta.
You should go.
Atlanta's a hub for a lot of airlines, which means there's a zillion flights pretty cheap. So just I've already got mine. What's that?
I've already got mine.
You going?
Yeah.
Cool. Now I hope I go.
What do you mean you hope you go?
It's not a guarantee.
It's not a guarantee. They're going to send you.
I hope so.
Go anyway.
Go anyway. No, because I'll end up working. I don't work for free.
Oh. Go and be a spectator.
As much as I love my job.
So, wait a minute. You're not going?
I don't know if I'm going to be scheduled to go.
Jay is being a pessimist, as usual.
Yes, exactly. Trump is never going to win.
So what you're saying is if you didn't work for the NRA, you'd go.
Yes.
Because it'd be fun.
Exactly.
But because you work for the NRA, you're not going to go. Because work.
Again, it depends. They have
made it makes. Let me explain it this way. Let me mansplain it to you, Alan, for Jay. Let me whitewash Jay's tongue. So, Jay, no matter when he goes to the NRA show, is always going to work. The question is he going to work for his defunct and possibly not registered blog?
It's been registered.
Or is he going to work for the National Rifle Association that actually pays his bills now? And if suddenly he's working for the, and since he does work for the National Rifle Association and therefore really can't compete with it from his defunct and nobody reads it anymore blog, except a lot of people do. A lot of people read my blog still. I don't get it. But
blogs are dead.
They are dead. They are dead, but people need, I guess people need something to read when they're pooping in the morning. But yeah, but you're going to be working no matter what, and you have a set avenue for that work, and that set avenue for work comes with an hourly wage. Or are you salaried? You hourly or salary, Jay?
No, we're salaried.
Okay, yeah, so it's included in his salary. So if they tell him no, you've got the weekend off, you can take the weekend off.
Sure.
Ding ding ding. As much as I would like to go, and if it were in like, you know, Philadelphia where I could drive, I would probably go.
Yeah, just beg.
Atlanta is far enough away from me that I'm kind of like meh. I mean, it's a drive.
I just want to go there because it's warm.
It is warm.
it's the end of April.
I don't care.
It's the end of April, though.
Oh. So it
should, yeah. Didn't they have the big ice storm in April one year? Wasn't that
in Atlanta?
Yeah.
In Ohio?
No, in Atlanta.
I don't think it was in April.
Oh, I thought, well, maybe.
I don't think
Atlanta has anything in April besides lots of April showers.
I know Dallas had a huge snowstorm once in April one year.
Yeah, but isn't Dallas like 1,000 miles north of Atlanta?
No, not really.
2,000 miles?
No,
I'm pulling up a map.
They're pretty close.
There was one. It looks like in 2014.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Also, what's the elevation of Dallas?
It's like 560, 570 feet, something like that. It's not.
Ooh,
it's
Atlanta is north of Dallas.
Yeah. See, there you go.
But Dallas is, let's see.
And Dallas has been burned to the ground one less time.
Yeah. Oh no, Dallas! I thought Dallas was a little higher up. It says here, according to the Googlies, it is 430 feet above sea level.
Okay then.
Let's see, Atlanta.
That must be downtown. near the
river. This is the part of Squirrel Report where we read from maps.
Yeah, this is the geography lesson.
And it's not even real geography portion. Yeah. There aren't even real maps anymore.
Atlanta's near the mountains, so it's a little higher.
Okay. Fair enough. Atlanta's hot. They call it Hotlanta.
Hotlanta, right.
Yep. Well, excuse me, I've never been except to change planes.
If you ever go to Atlanta and spend any actual time there, go to the Coca-Cola Museum. It's pretty fun.
Or the CDC.
No, don't go to the CDC.
Get communicable diseases.
Is that where they keep all the bugs?
Yes.
All the evil bugs.
And well, at least according to the blacklist, they do.
Ebola.
The horrible viruses that can kill everybody within seconds.
Nice.
Wait, you talking about the TV series Blacklist?
Yes. The TV series Blacklist.
According to James Spader.
Yes, James Spader.
I won't lie. If James Spader just knocked on my door and just came on and just told me a whole bunch of crazy shit, I'd believe him. It's James Spader.
Yeah, well, you know.
I think I like James Spader now more than I did like when he was younger.
More than you liked him in Secretary?
No. Secretary was the best.
Okay.
But, Secretary is pretty fucking good. But, more than you liked him in Wolf?
I never saw that, but it was Pretty in Pink or something? Pretty in Pink, right? He was in that. He played Blaine, who was like the douchebag rich guy. Hey, wait a minute. He's kind of the douchebag rich guy in this show, too.
He's typecast as the douchebag rich guy and everything.
Well, I think he's much, much sexier now that he's older. He kind of has like a thing.
Oh, yeah, he was in Stargate.
Yeah, he was.
Also kind of a turd.
Yeah.
Maybe he's typecast as rich turds.
He wasn't a rich turd in that one.
He wasn't rich, but he was... Yeah,
it's Stargate. Stargate actually, like, the reason why I said, oh yeah, he's in Stargate, is Stargate is like the least James Spader role like he's ever done. In that, is he's neither creepy nor douchey nor rich.
Oh, he's still pretty creepy.
In Stargate?
Oh yeah, he's still pretty creepy.
Yeah, but a different kind of creepy. Like he's like nerd creepy in that because he's an Egyptologist.
Yeah,
and like kind of a nutty Egyptologist.
Yeah. Creepy.
Okay, whatever. I'm gonna put a. We'll let Facebook settle this shit.
Oh man, and Brita thought this show was gonna suck.
Well, I know. Trump will never win.
Never win.
Oh, so
hey Jay, do you think we're gonna get concealed carry reciprocity?
Nope, never happened.
Yeah,
thank you.
I don't think so either.
No, I'm supposed to argue the opposite.
And I didn't expect the Hearing Protection Act to go much, but it's looking even less likely than I thought, in my opinion.
Why is that?
It's a hard sell, and the politicians don't want to do hard sells. They want to do easy shit.
I prefer easy shits.
Oh, by the way, before we get...
It needs to get 60 votes in the Senate, and it is not going to get 60 votes in the Senate. It's just not going to happen. There's not going to be 9 Democrats that do it. They go, oh, yeah, let's get rid of suppressors, or let's take them off the NFA. I just don't see it. Might get 2 or 3, but you're not going to get 9.
Meh. We'll see.
And the same thing for concealed carry reciprocity. It has the same problem. Now if they do the Harry Reid special on it and just do the nuclear option for everything and just get rid of filibuster, then maybe. But I don't see him doing that either.
That would require a spine.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's not going to happen. They like easy shit. They don't like stuff they have to work for.
Speaking of shit you have to work for, by the way, it feels like I had to look it up if, in fact, the last episode of the Squirrel Report was the one that I showed up late for because I was shoveling.
Yes, it was.
Because I have spent so much time shoveling since then, it feels like no. There's been at least two or three fucking shows in between then.
You get so your workout,
first up,
huh?
I would like to say, since I was outside shoveling and we no longer do this show live, I had no idea what the hell you had said before the show going on. And I have got to put a flag on the fucking play of under no circumstances do you go outside and with a shovel while snow is still falling. No.
Oh.
No, no, okay. No. And I'll tell you right now, was that 2012? The real bad winter? Were you still here, Jay?
Apparently they're all bad up there.
No. The one where we were getting like twice a week, like 4 inches or more.
Oh, so you lived in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Wait.
We've had a really great winter this winter.
Twice a week, 4 inches or more?
Yeah.
Wow. Weird's a player.
Sounds like he's bragging.
So give me 6 inches and make it hurt. So I fucked her twice and punched her in the mouth. But a bump. But just were we just getting buried off and like the MBTA just kind of called it quits. And Beverly Scott like got thrown out on her ass and Obama thought about making her national transportation secretary until somebody finked to him and he went, oh, maybe you should tender your resignation. But either way, during that winter, there was a couple of times where it'd be an overnight storm and mm-hmm. I would have to get to work the next day. And so I would go out and shovel while it was still snowing just to knock it down a little bit so that it would be easier shoveling the next day. Yeah, never easier. You're shoveling a little bit less snow and now you're sore. No. Just let it finish and then shovel every last
bit.
Read it,
tell them. That's why you lift.
Yeah, that's why you lift, bro.
That's right.
I haven't been lifting all week because I don't need to. Yeah. I'm sore.
Weird's canceling his gym membership for the winter.
I work. I don't have a gym. If I had to go someplace to work out, I wouldn't work out. I go up to my third floor, and that's as far as I go.
Stair climbing, huh?
A little bit, yeah. I guess, as you call it that.
Every little bit helps.
But yeah. Oh, Monday was bad, though. You got just this huge, like, snowstorm that was... Jay, of course, is familiar with the wet concrete snow, and Brita as well.
Ah, heart attack snow.
This was the more exciting dry concrete snow. This was shoveling construction debris.
Yeah.
Because it was snowing, and it was nice and cold, so it was the white powder, which is all we've been getting, really. So it was just that fine white powder... And then at midnight, of all times, at midnight, it warmed up enough to turn to rain for about an hour and a half. And then it turned back into white powdery snow. So I got an adorable little parfait of powdery snow, rock-side hollowed layer of ice, powdery snow. And of course... Boston got completely crippled by it. Everything shut down. And so we all just stayed home. And so my wife, of course, being the primary breadwinner. And if you're not a Democrat socialist, you know that, oh, wait, she's the primary breadwinner. It means she works her ass off all the time. So she was constantly in meetings. So I had like hour long windows where she could watch La Weirda and I could go out and shovel, which again meant that I would shovel for a little bit and then I would go back inside and warm up and then I would go back out and shovel. But this time I'd be sore.
So Alan, I meant to ask you, what is your high going to be this weekend?
Oh, well,
heroin. Well,
last time I looked, it was going to be 90.
90.
90.
Yeah. And we're still having snow. It's like we live on two different planets this time.
Is that global warming, Alan?
They've cranked it down to 89. But you never know. That's, you know, the temperature, the forecast and the temperature doesn't really, it'll be warm. No, that's typical for this.
Is your air conditioning running right now?
It is not.
What's the temperature right now?
My current temperature is 59 degrees outside.
Yeah. So you got the heat going or is that just good enough?
Nah, it's just off. the residual, the, you know, the house stays warm enough that I don't have to run the heat.
You've got cats.
Yeah, I got cats and computers and whatnot. So,
so speaking of weather, this is a segue. You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Is anybody else laughing hysterically at California with their, oh, California, CalExit, oh, we don't need you, blah. Oh, watch what happens when we leave, la, 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 la. Oh, no, the rains, please help us.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. What they sent Obama, or not Obama, they sent Trump a budget with some god-awful amount of money for infrastructure. I forget how much it was, but it was a lot. And, you know, they got this dam that's about to, like, apparently collapse. And I was reading about this dam. So apparently this dam is a hydroelectric dam. So it was designed to generate power.
Oh, I have not heard this, but yeah. I know where this is going.
So the thing about generating dams is that the design of the dam is different from a reservoir dam, because generating dams, they don't reach maximum capacity, like, ever, because you're always draining it to generate power. So they get, you know, they average around 40-50% full, and, you know, they might peak at 80 and then drop back down and, you know, stuff like that. But they redesignated it in, I don't know, 2012 or something like that as a reservoir because, you know, California drought. So they said, well, we're just going to make this dam hold more water. The problem is they didn't do anything to the dam. So they changed the average, you know, amount of water in the dam and didn't do anything to the dam itself, even though the engineers that looked at it said, yeah, you got to do this and this and this and this. Because,
and then meanwhile, like New Orleans and their levees, they're exactly. also given federal money
right.
to upgrade and repair said dam, even at its hydroelectric status,
which they never did,
which they immediately turned around and blew it on hookers and blow.
Right. So they
wait. They're the Secret Service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got this. So part of the problem with this dam is that they were keeping the water levels higher than it was designed for. You know, the emergency overflow thing is never supposed to be used, and the problem is that it was getting used a lot, and because it's a hydroelectric dam, you're supposed to control the level by generating electricity. You're never supposed to use the emergency spillway for anything, which is why the emergency spillway failed, because they were using it too much. So there you go. Way to go, yep. California.
Yay. And come,
they kept playing with it until they broke it.
Right. Basically. Yeah.
And come help us, Trumpy McHitler. You're our only hope.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
We don't need you. Oh, wait. Come on.
Yes. By all means, let's let them proceed.
And that's without any of those dumb shits realize that they have no water, and they have no water, and they have no water, and they have no electricity without us.
Right.
Oh, but we have.
Oh, and I believe their own, because I don't know, Alan. Do you know, since you follow the financial stuff a little bit more, like, where is the money from Hollywood? I understand that, like, all the studios and stuff are still in Hollywood, because that's kind of the go-to meeting places for all the producers and directors and
right.
and those sort of stuff. But I mean, again, you got the you know, American finance laws where, you know, the people go to work in New Jersey, but their money lives in the Bahamas.
Oh yeah, the you want to talk about
they don't they don't they certainly don't make movies in California.
Well, they anymore. Don't make money either. I mean, if you go look at the books on movies, they almost never make money. You know, you could have a blockbuster that makes, you know, $500-700 million worldwide, and if you go to the studio and go, you know, would you make profit off this movie? They're like, eh, 20 cents. You know, it's like it's like the record companies. They're all crooked. They all use crooked, phony bookkeeping. They shuffle stuff around, and it's weird because these, you know, every movie is like a syndicate kind of a thing. It's like you know, the old days they used to make, you know, a studio was a business that made movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now a studio is a business that finances movies and it arranges finance. So they're like these, they're, you know, they help arrange financing for a movie. So they basically create this little organization for each separate movie that gets made.
Oh, so like Hillary financed Bernie Sanders' new third beach home.
Right. Exactly.
No, no, to be fair, those were the dirty hippies sending him $20.
Right. Well, so you know, it's all, you know, creative accounting, and you know, they're engineered to never make money. They have massive revenues, and the actual profit is like negligible.
Speaking a little bit of that on that line, just a neat little factoid is, of course, being a fan of classic films and I've been starting to show them to my daughter, is super duper amusing with old movies. Was there would be a couple of title cards at the beginning of the movie while they played some music, and then at the end of the movie it would fade out and you'd get the end card and it would say the end.
Yep.
And the movie stops.
Right.
No longer of the credit crawl at the beginning of the movie to let you know who's in it, who directed it, and some of those other things. And then like 10 solid minutes of just text on the, you know, for the, you know, at the end.
Yep.
And maybe you stick around because maybe they're going to throw a 30-second scene at the end of it to tease the next one. No, they showed all the actors. They gave the names of all the actors starring in it and all the people that worked on the set. And then when they got to the end of the movie, they said, thanks for watching. And that was it.
Yep.
No, we don't need to tell you anymore because we already did.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, you don't have the cast of thousands in the, you know, you look at a modern movie and it's like name after name, after, you know, it's like this unit and that unit and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and that's why, you know, that's why these movies can make hundreds of million dollars and have no profit at all, because, you know,
there's a lot of mouths to feed.
Right.
You know, it's been stepped on a few times.
Yeah. It's been cut over and over. Yep. So, yeah. So what Jay was, before we started, Jay was about to say something about book publishers. And I said, wait, save it for the show.
Yeah, lay the sucker out for us, Jay. And Brita, you get first reaction.
Oh, God. I just came across it. But apparently major book publishers are hiring, and I swear to God, I am not making this up, sensitivity readers to determine if what's being proposed is acceptable or if the content is offensive. So they're self-censoring.
You know, okay. This is really interesting from my professional experience, because back in the day, before liberals went insane, they used to make fun of very, okay, how do I put this? Christian groups used to do the same thing.
Yes.
And they used to read books and rate them for, you know, mature content and sexuality and language and all sorts of things. And they would do it not only for kids' books, but also for adult books, because people who were very Christian didn't want that, you know, didn't want to be surprised by some sort of, you know, a mature non-Christian content. I don't know how to put it, but
surprise.
But, and that was all like, oh gosh, you know, oh, those Christian people, how lame, you know, it's just a book, blah, blah, blah. But now here we are with liberal sensitivity readers, which to me is, because being a librarian, you know, we've always had this duty of, it's a book and we will tell you what's in the book, and we will leave it up to you to discover what is in the book, whether you go online or find some sort of review from a Christian group or whatever. But it's up to you, the reader, to decide whether or not to read it. We're not going to censor it. We're not going to get rid of the book based on content, because we're a public library. We offer all things for all people.
Including porn for homeless people.
Including, well...
But for that exact reason.
You know, I want to address that at the end of this. But so now you have these liberal groups doing this sensitivity reading. And I'm assuming, Jay, it's like so that the lesbians won't be triggered or exactly. something?
Because right? not all women have vaginas.
Okay.
And Brita, that is just... an awesome, awesome observation that the same people who, you know, what, 30 years ago,
right,
would have been ridiculing the moral majority and right. saying that they want to censor books. Arthur fucking Miller, kiss my ass, motherfucker, mm-hmm. who, you know, oh, the right-wing witch hunt, blah, blah, blah. Arthur Miller, The Crucible, McCarthy hearings, blah, blah, blah. No, there were communists in Hollywood. Sorry.
Sure.
For those that may not be initiated to my ranting. But the whole, that whole group that snickered and look at those, the Bible thumpers and the moral majority, and they want to censor books, they want to burn books, they want to do this, they want to do that.
Right.
But it's okay when we do it.
Right.
Well, sure.
Jay, I know that one of your favorite books in all the world.
Yep.
Is Fahrenheit 451.
Yes, it is.
And it's a good book. I think it's interesting that you brought this up, actually. Because it's the same thing. Exactly.
It's the first step. It's the first step because it's exactly in Bradbury's world. They outlawed books because they made people think and it hurt people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it raised questions that they really didn't want to have to answer, and it made people think too much. And when you start, when you start saying you can't write that because it might hurt someone's feelings, well, it's going to hurt someone's feelings. It's just ban it.
Or to dive into one of my favorites of 1984, you just simply control what people read. Don't let right. people read the wrong things, because if they read the wrong things, they might think the wrong way.
Well, I don't know why they're all worked up about it, because the way schools are going, people aren't going to be reading in another 20 years anyway. You know, it's not gonna
it's again, you get Nazis, they're going to start burning books.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wait, the Nazis were right-wing. Yeah, National Socialists.
It's very interesting, and I'm trying to understand, like, where this... And I'm not saying, like, the impulse from the left or the right, but I'm trying to understand, like, why it keeps cropping up. Like, okay, the Nazis did it for obvious reasons. You know, they burned books. And then, you know, we did have the whole religious right, you know, doing their reviewing of the books. But they didn't force it on anybody else, though.
Right.
Well,
Maybe it
depends on which one of the groups. There was a couple, and again, they were sideline crazy churches. I'm literally talking about in our entire country, you know, no more than 30 some people did indeed do stuff like burn Harry Potter books because it was promoting.
Do you not remember Tipper Gore?
Yep.
Oh, with the music. Oh, yeah. My God.
Music research
and video games.
And video games and music. That's it was the exact same thing. And it was the exact same reason.
Right.
Which, by the way, that always deeply amuses me, is I've got, like, some albums that are one of those, like, I guess this is explicit content, but really, no, not really. And yet, meanwhile, I've also got Tom Waits' album Step Right Up that I bought at the exact same time. Small Change. And it's got... allegedly, I've heard people claim not, but it's actually got Elvira's tits right on the front of it. And yeah, nope, that one's got no sticker on it whatsoever. Why? Because it's jazz, baby.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
More recently, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos' book.
Oh yeah,
which is published by Simon & Schuster. They have come out and said, you know, oh no, the book will not contain any hate speech. And that was their official statement. We promise that we will not publish anything that features hate speech.
Well, how do they know
and
that?
And your definition of hate speech is?
They said, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which, for our millennial listeners, which we've been told we have several, was a quote from, I believe it was Attorney General Ed Meese about pornography, that he couldn't define it, but he knew it when he'd see it. And he was
an expert on it, though, because he must have seen a lot of porn.
The Meese Commission. That was the biggest
was
joke.
Was this going. With, what's his face? The hustler guy?
Larry Flint.
Look it up, kids. Anyway. Yeah, the whole thing is really interesting to me that there it keeps, I don't know, it's like this whole impulse to control information. And it always comes from people who feel the need to hang on to power somehow. Like I think about when the printing press was invented. The printing press was illegal to own one.
Oh yeah.
They had to be they were regulated by the state or the king, or you had to have a permit to print things. And that's why the freedom of the press, and it's literally the press.
Yep.
You were free to own a press and to you know, give out information. That was the freedom of the press, was literally the press, like the printing press.
And that was the first one they laid out, because that is, I mean,
right. And you know, it's like,
which again,
it's,
just
it's really you know. Interesting that this is like the first thing they try to do. Like, let's control the information, and it like has happened throughout history. It's fascinating to see that it's still going on, and you have Obama kept on trying to get control of the internet. You know, they kept on trying to do internet regulations and, you know, all that sort of stuff is just fascinating to me. I mean, especially from my viewpoint, it's like, you know, my job is to give as much information to people as I can give them and as much as they want. You know, it's like, okay, here it is. You know, let's find all the information that you want. And I have no judgment about what people want because, you know, that's my job. And I find it so important that, you know, people have access to whatever they want. And sensitivity readers, I mean, sensitivity based on whose sensitivity, really?
Yep.
I mean,
their own.
I don't know. It's bizarre. It's like bizarro world.
I mean, I really got to put it to more of the, I had to look it up to make sure I got it right, and I would have quoted it wrong. Is George Orwell, 1984? Those who control the present control the past, and those who control the past control the future. And of course, the whole statement was the Ministry of Truth was rewriting the past and disappearing, you know, things that happened in the past that they didn't like, and disappearing people that they didn't like, so that they could tell people things that weren't that. So like the whole movie, they've got like chocolate shortages. And they've had chocolate shortages for years, but there's always promise that, like, in a couple of months, the chocolate shortage is going to end, and they're all going to have as much chocolate as they want.
Good news! Your chocolate ration has been increased from 5 units to 4 units.
Yeah, except for your last unit, your ration was 6 units. But they're telling you it's an increase.
Right. And, right. Right.
Yeah, and so if you can control wrongthink, to again use George Orwell's terms, if you can control people thinking the wrong way and not presenting harmful ideas to your power structure, you know, you can indeed quell down rebellion. And so I would argue that the people that have, and then go through and say, oh, turn around to people, to these social justice warriors, and tell them that, oh yeah, no, you are supposed to, like, encouraging people to be offended. Cause people by nature do want to shut down speech just on a human nature level. Someone's
speech you don't agree with.
Yeah. You go on the most tribal level, you know, someone tells you that your girlfriend's pussy stinks. You want to beat their head in with a bone club. But as we civilize, we realize, oh no, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which, by the way, is a hilarious little, you know, little word of advice these days. Yeah. Where now it's one of those, like, oh no, words are assault. Words are physical harm. Like, right. someone telling you that abortion is murder is no different than somebody, you know, carjacking you.
Punching you because you're a Nazi, because they call you a Nazi.
Yes. Or someone deciding arbitrarily that you're a Nazi and then physically harming you for it. And that is justifiable because right. you're a Nazi, or people wanted to kill Milo Yiannopoulos because he doesn't believe what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so again, it's kind of human. It's human nature to be offended and, you know, and get going on that. And that's what we do, like, as parents, as we teach our children of the, yeah, you've got to have a stiff upper lip. You got to have a thick skin. You've got to understand that, yeah, no, people may say awful things and you may want to beat in their face, but that's not what we do, because that's not the right way to handle these things.
I wonder.
But people looking to control, people looking to control people and looking to get down that stuff suddenly say, oh no, this is the okay time to hit people. This is the okay time to ban speech. To the 2-minute hate.
If you think about it, most of the social justice warrior stuff is millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Who are also the everyone gets a trophy generation.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I wonder how much that crappy
and get any college degree whatsoever, it doesn't matter, get a piece of sheepskin, right, and all of a sudden your money problems are over.
Right. Dang millennials.
Well, yeah, but I wonder how much of that, you know, everybody gets a, you know, because they were raised in this cotton quilted, nothing ever hurts, you know, you don't have to worry about anything.
Well, it's also a lot of narcissism, know, because if you become offended by something and you think that things should be changed because you're offended, you might be a narcissist, know. There's a lot of that in the culture now. I mean, it's like, I think it derives from that helicopter parenting, everything, sure. You know, everybody gets a gold star type bullshit. I mean, nobody's allowed to be a loser anymore.
And when you're raised in a family where you're the center of attention because you're the kid, the kids the center of attention, you grow up. I mean, if you have the slightest tendency toward narcissism, it's just reinforced.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's part of childhood development. I mean, my daughter is very, very strongly in that, like, complete narcissistic form of her life.
How old is she?
She's 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, insane. Insane narcissist. I mean, just the, like, I mean, so this morning, she punched me in the face.
Oh, no. Whoa. Oh, no.
She was just excited and roughhousing, and it wasn't really a full punch, but her knuckles did contact my teeth.
Weird. Did you slip and fall and hit the door frame again?
I fell off my bike. But so I did the good parent thing of the, it didn't really hurt, you know, but I did the good parent thing. If I put my hand over my mouth and I made my eyes all big and I said, ow, ow, oh, you know, no, thank you. Don't, you know, hands are not for hitting. And
I punched right back.
And she realized that she had, I mean, it was not her intention and she'd accidentally hurt me. And then her next step was to get furious with me because it upset her that she accidentally hurt me. And classic. So she was so angry at me.
How dare you?
And actually ended up like, this was a circular discussion, wanted me to hit her so she could make me feel bad for hitting her. Oh my God.
Wow.
And yeah, but again, this is an important development because if you don't have this phase, well, then you become a complete and utter doormat. And, you know, your boss tells you to stay late and no, I'm not going to pay you extra for it. You go, oh, okay, you're the boss. I guess I have to do that. Instead of, fuck you, no, my time is valuable. But, you know, but at the same time, once that view of self takes a healthy route, you got to make sure to quash it down and go, no, you're just a person.
Yep.
But yeah. But yeah, but then when you've got the helicopter parents, oh yeah, no, that is further encouraging me of the, oh no, these are grown-ass adults who like have authority over me, and yet they're worshiping the ground I walk on.
Right, yeah.
See also the little emperors of China. Where the
because this is a perfect oh my God, I have the best segue.
Ooh,
dive right
I know
in.
Where you're going. That's great.
The best segue.
Well, here let me just finish my statement and I'll let you segue away. Is that go. Of course China? I guess they're relaxing it, but then again, I don't trust anything I read about China. Speaking of controlling the information, but China of course had their you're only allowed to have one child, and so. Instead of people, knocking their wives up once and calling it good, instead they would do what they would normally do. Just if they had little girls, which were not as quote unquote valuable, they would dump them on the hillside and then just pretend that they never had a kid. And then if they were a little boy, well, that would be their son and heir. And since that was the only kid they were allowed to have, they essentially became the Chinese version of helicopter parents. And evidently they raised a whole generation of monsters. And not also since these monsters have no one to marry, actually girls are suddenly becoming valuable again.
Right. And they realize that having a large percentage of single late teen, early 20 something males with really nothing to live for is not a good thing for a totalitarian government.
Quick, start a war.
Bingo. Quick, let's protect our phony baloney jobs.
Yeah.
All right, Brita, I'm dying to hear your segue.
Kim Jong-un.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
Speaking of, like, children who were raised to be narcissist monsters.
Speaking of children who were raised
well, to be narcissist yes, monsters. Third generation monster. He is the third... He's actually the third and youngest child of Kim Jong-il, who was North Korea dictator. I guess the story goes that Kim Jong-il kind of saw himself in his youngest son, like recognized like a similar personality type, blah, blah, blah. And so Kim Jong-un was raised like as the little prince, you know, going to be the next leader of North Korea. And just this week, Kim Jong-un had his brother assassinated in public in broad daylight.
That's going to make Thanksgiving awkward.
Wow. By female assassins in an airport. I think in, where was it?
Didn't they make a movie where the North Korean assassins were all female?
I don't know.
It was Faster Pussycat. Kill.
Oh, I never see that one. Is it good, Jay?
It's Russ Meyers. Yes, it's good.
Oh, he's murdered in Malaysia. His brother was murdered in Malaysia by poison. So apparently these female assassins go, like, meet up with the brother of Kim Jong-un and poison him in broad daylight. They don't know if it was an injection or, like, a spray in his face, but... Apparently there are poisons that work very quickly.
That's why I don't kiss them in the mouth.
But Kim Jong-un, he killed his half-brother because he wanted to consolidate his power, apparently. Hey, but the best part
speaking
of this...
Speaking of quick acting poisons, Jay, have you been to the CIA museum in... Well, I think it's in Virginia. I don't think it's in D.C.
The CIA... no, I have not been to the CIA museum. We've been to the spy museum in D.C.
Oh, yeah, I think it is the spy museum. Excuse me, yeah.
It's awesome, but, like... It was very interesting because my kids were like, what's the big deal? Because when you've grown up with smartphones, a 35 millimeter camera the size of a deck of cards is like anticlimactic. Like, okay, it's a camera. Whoop-dee shit.
But specifically, they have an example of the KGB pen gun.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
And this gun was essentially when it was... fully collapsed and not cocked, it looks like kind of like a ballpoint pen.
Yeah, a really big ballpoint pen with a huge hole in the end.
Yes, and then you essentially cock a massive striker system, and it's filled with cyanide, and you pull the trigger, and it sprays a spray of cyanide, and they would actually spray people in the face, and hey, guess what? They looked like they died of a heart attack. And we lost Brita. So
who's dinging?
What's dinging?
Is that what that was? Us losing Brita?
Yep.
We're Brita-less.
I guess her internet crapped out or something. Well, we're almost done anyway.
Apparently she was snowed to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been snow. All right, what else we got?
Anyway.
Anywho.
But yeah, North Korea is all fucked up and shit, and they're launching ICBMs that... Did it get out the launch pad? Like, what actually happened to this rocket?
I honestly didn't pay attention.
The giant slingshot broke halfway through.
Like, it was huge news, but it's like, why are you fucking reporting on this? North Korea launches another alleged ballistic missile. It's a missile. It's not necessarily ballistic.
Yeah.
Well, it's only yeah.
And again, you know, everybody laughed at that Chimpy McHitler when he called them part of the Axis of Evil.
Well, yeah, because he was Chimpy McHitler.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this today. You know, it's like all the little communist states that were like daughter, like, you know, like child states of the big communist states. They did that whole fanatic, like, you know, more fanatic than the parent kind of thing. So you got North Korea, who even the Chinese go like, fuck, man, what the hell? What are we gonna do with this guy? He's crazy. And then, you know, you got Venezuela and you got Cuba, and the Russians are like, shit, even we're not communists anymore. Come on, guys.
Cambodia.
Yeah.
What is Cambodia now?
A country?
What was the government that replaced it when Pol Pot was, I think, put under house arrest until he died of natural causes? There's some justice right there.
Yeah.
It's something. So, oh, you know what we didn't talk about? The one thing Alan mentioned.
What?
Why I was wearing a helmet.
Oh, yeah. Why were you wearing a helmet, Jay?
I got to do some shoot house training, which was really, really cool. There was like, just like everything else in the known universe, everything you've seen on TV is bullshit.
Well, of course.
And there's an absolute shit ton that goes into it. And it's really overwhelming.
Cool. Did you have real life people sitting in chairs in the shoot house so you could play by big boy rules?
Yeah, and I shot the hostage too.
Cool.
No, wait.
He needed to die.
That's right. He's a collaborator. So yeah. He had it coming. But so, yes, that's why. And they do. They insist on you'd wear full armor and full kit.
What guns were you running with?
I cannot say.
Oh.
Ooh.
I will be reading it in an incoming magazine.
Wait, can you say why you can't say?
Because I signed an agreement where they will come to my house and beat me. And
right,
well, no,
but is it because it's like a something nobody?
Yes,
like a new thing.
It's something new that in less than 2 weeks will be revealed on ShootingIllustrated.com.
All right.
So, there's shameless plug.
Did you like the new thing, Jay?
I did. I did, actually. I found it to have very good things.
Cool.
The new thing has good things?
Yes. Yes. And that's, I'm...
Could you possibly be less specific?
Y'all want to get sued?
Shut up, Alan. I know you've been behind an NDA, too.
Yeah, but mine were like shit nobody cares about. Oh, damn it.
It's like I started thinking about that. I'm like, I can talk about what I was doing, but not what I was doing it with. So
it'll be another magazine for me to set for me to set on my little reading table in the living room, and for my daughter to play around all day, every day, and never once ask a question.
You know what?
She will ask a question about everything else. Hmm. As a matter of fact, I was changing the other day and she started asking questions about my penis.
Oh, okay.
But there is a Shooting Illustrated with an MP5 on the cover of it sitting on the table in the living room. No concern. I'll even pick it up and be reading it and not paying attention to her, which is like lighting a road flare. Wait, you're not paying attention to me. Stop doing whatever you're doing.
Well, that's because it's and achy yet, guns.
Yeah.
And she's a girl.
But I want her to be a three gunner.
Give it time.
As long as she's not a gun bunny.
Give it time. My,
she's not going to be a fucking gun bunny.
My daughter.
I'll abandon her on the hillside if that happens.
My daughter was never all that into guns, but she really loved airsoft and the BB guns because she'd go out in the backyard and shoot cans and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
So and then now she has her own AR and you know that she built herself. So you know.
Yeah. No. The closest thing we got was she won in a camp bingo game. She won a little bright pink plastic MAC-10 squirt gun.
Cool. See, that's fun.
And we ran around camp squirting every daddy long legs in camp. And then she promptly abandoned it and hasn't even, I don't even know where it is, hasn't asked for it.
You know, there was a thing I noticed the other day when I was watching a movie. You don't see red lasers anymore.
Oh, like on everything?
Yeah. Used to be it was like red lasers on everything. Now it's green lasers on everything.
Oh,
it's because they're more tactical.
Green is the new sexy. So it's like,
so now is there going to be sniper rifles with green lasers?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all over the place.
Oh, that always, that one always bothers me. All right. So first up, you're shooting at long ranges, which means that your bullet drop is varying incredibly. It's not like you're fucking going to dial that laser in for whatever the fuck your bullet drop's going to be. So chances are that laser's not actually pointing at your point of impact.
No.
But also it's giving away your position.
Yeah. Well,
One of the whole points of being a sniper is people don't see those crosshairs sitting on you.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't see a giant beam coming
The other thing I laugh my ass off is you see this on TV shows, you see it in movies, you see it everything where you got like the, you know, like the guys that come into the house first place, they're all bunched up like crazy. I mean, somebody must have seen a war Call of Duty or so. I don't know what the hell it is, but they think you gotta be all bunched up.
It could be more of a, they just need them all to fit in the shot.
Yeah, that's probably.
Or right. It could have been one person decided to shoot that and decided for the sake of, it's just like, I was actually, just before the show, I was watching Casino Royale, because it's been way too long since I've watched that movie, and a guy points the gun at James Bond and pulls the trigger and it goes click. Well, he had been shooting it and he just ran out of ammo. Well, the slide should be locked back, right?
But yeah.
You're not going to do that. And okay, yes, sometimes slides fail to lock back, whether it's a bad magazine or you're riding the slide stop, yada yada yada. But either way, it's a movie. we can have some stupid shit happen with guns.
Okay.
Just for the sake of, for the sake of that. So in theory, that could have been one person who might have known about SWAT teams and then instead turned around and said, yeah, but they need to kind of bunch up so they all fit in the frame. So yes. You can see that there's a lot of guys.
But the other thing that's funny is they come in and they're all like, urban warriored up with, fatigues and masks and vests and all this kind of crap. And the green lasers are flying everywhere, but it's dark and not a single damn one of them has a flashlight.
Yep.
So what the hell are they looking at, and how the hell are they going to shoot anything, even if their little laser does fall on?
Right.
Yep. And then, well, one thing that's gone away though is since nobody's using 1911s anymore, is the 1911 with the hammer down.
Oh, yeah. Yes, or single action army with the hammer down.
Or my favorite, where they pull the gun and point it at somebody, and the hammer's down, and they're pointing it at somebody, and they're like, oh, they got the drop on me, and then they go to shoot them, and they rack the slide.
Yep. Or the
held with the gun held on them doesn't even realize, oh yeah, that's a single action with the hammer down. They're not going to shoot me.
And that
not any time today.
Yeah.
Or in the same Casino Royale. He gets arrested by a bunch of cops, and when they point their shotguns at him, number one, they're semi-auto shotguns, and number two, the Foley artist put in the sound of a pump gun getting racked.
Oh yeah,
of course, because that's what you do with the shotgun.
Because number one, if you're a police officer, you only chamber a gun just as you're pointing it at them.
Sure,
right. Now, see, I actually made mention of that in my review of the standard manufacturing DP-12. That is the pump action double barrel shotgun. Referring to it, I couldn't refer to it as the Sizzlak Special, because actually I think I may have actually referred to it as the Sizzlak Special. Mo Sizzlak is the bartender on the TV show The Simpsons.
Yes.
And there are numerous scenes where he has what is obviously a two-shot, yeah, double-barrel shot, side-by-side shotgun,
yep,
that he will rack, yep, the slide to, yep, the here. I said, I started off the review by saying, if you're a gun guy, things like, hearing a Glock hammer being cocked drive you nuts. Another big offender is the sound of the double-barreled shotgun having a, the sound of a slide being racked.
Yeah.
Well, now, here you go.
Yep.
Yep. That's always,
Or again, somebody just picking up just a regular old gun, but you hear that distinctive three-click fan of a single action army of the, that definitely Martin Riggs definitely pulled his Beretta 92 more than a few times with that three click hammer cock of a single action army. Cause yeah, guess what? When you're watching a movie, most of the shit you hear didn't actually happen.
Oh yeah.
Right.
It's all added. Foley's.
Foley's. Yeah. Axel Foley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who I believe, I guarantee his Browning High Power made a single action army hammer. And I bet you if we rewatch one of the Beverly Hills Cops, at least the first two, I don't need to watch the third one. If at least one of those, there's going to be a few scenes with the hammers down on that thing. Though if I remember correctly, the hammer's back most of the time. Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're out of time.
On that note.
Yep.
We're done. Yep. And
thanks, everybody. It's a
all right.
One.
Night, y'all.
Bye.
Good night, Internet.